Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. This is the Sunday morning roundtable discussion that we have in this Sunday morning. And we do have our guest in studio, Ma Suhaib Sanya, and as well as Brother Yusuf also joining us this morning in studio. And a very important topic that we will be discussing this morning. We know that just listening to Mohammed Lambert, before that, you know, he's given us a bit of holiday feeling.
Yes.
I'd like to welcome my guest, Pastor Masayib. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Munadaya, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, doing well. You know, always a pleasure to be with you in studio, Masayib.
Mm-hmm. Gee, last time it was, I think, around Qurbani time, where we had a round table discussion, and after it, exams and holidays.
Yes. And Brother Yusuf, assalamu alaikum. And once again, jazakumullah khairan for joining us here at Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Maulana, and nice seeing you again, Maulana Sahib, and to the family of Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, and Brother Yusuf, good to see you on a Sunday morning here in Indonesia. You know, normally you're driving here on a Wednesday night, coming to the program with the famous Muhammad Kara. And now on a Sunday morning, how does it feel to be in Lens, driving into Lens on a Sunday morning?
Gee, I never realized Indonesia is so big. And it's a lovely place, Maulana, it is. But something that struck me again were the robots. You know, in Lens, I've learned that when you're at a robot, when you stop at the robot, when it's green. So yeah, unlike where we live, you know, when you're at a robot, and a robot, you stop at the robot, people come with you with pamphlets and promotions and things like that. And that's when I say, I give him a lot of pamphlets, especially the over 60 ones. And yeah, just near the mall somewhere, I think you've got a clinic or something like that.
Yes, yes.
And I see a guy comes up to you and he lifts up his hands. Then he takes his hands and puts it towards his mouth. Then he rubs his stomach and things like that. So my wife that's sitting next to me says, what are these? I said, no, in our area, they come and give you pamphlets. Yeah, they're actually representatives of the clinic around the corner. So in case you've got a hand problem, they show you. Then in case you've got a mouth problem or a stomach problem, you know.
Yes.
So that's what Malaysia is.
Uncle Yusuf, whenever you come to Lens and you have lots of things to say, lots of praises regarding people of Lens, I'm sure maybe because they don't know how you look. Otherwise, I don't think you would have left Lens in one piece.
No, I'm just afraid in case they, I go out and ask me, who are you? I say, I'm Ulana Sayyid, that's Yusuf.
Yes, and Father Yusuf, just to start off the discussion, that I see you giving a nice heading there, the final countdown now, you know, mm-hmm. going into the end of exams, going into the holiday period, the stress or the hard work has been done, where the children have been studying and the parents have been encouraging them to study, and now is it anxious moments waiting for those results, and we hope those results are good for all those who made definite effort in this exams.
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, let me put it nicely, the final countdown. It's more the waiting of results or from the exams and the interns and so on. Now, what time is it? This is now the tension time, the anxiety time, stress time, what's it, broken sleep, indigestion, tension, headaches, the increase of panados and so on, you know. And you're waiting for the document which reads, promoted to grade so-and-so or to class so-and-so. What is an examination, Maulana? An exam is a factor that many of us don't even realize that we experience this in every second, every minute, every hour in our daily lives. The way we converse with each other, especially between spouses, between parents and their offsprings, is an examination. The way we consume our foods, the manner of doing business deals, how we take care of our employees, our maids at home. These are some of the examinations that we go through daily. The way we dress, our manner of greeting each other. I mean, just to remove a banana peel from a sidewalk is an examination, Maulana.
Yes.
To respect our neighbors, refraining from road rage, etc. Or even when a new daughter-in-law comes into her in-law's kitchen, she also undergoes an examination.
Maybe one of the most difficult examinations.
So, well, we can carry on and on. But do we realize that we are being examined continuously? We just subconscious of it, for we don't have an invigilator or an inspector monitoring our actions, until we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-seeing. and aware of our thoughts, emotions, and actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all brothers and sisters the strength to realize the benefits and rewards for our action and pass the examination with the reward of an entrance to Jannah, inshallah. You know? And that's how important an examination is. We call it final countdown because we're referring towards our institutions, the school, madrasas and things like that. But as parents, we actually got to realize that every second we're being examined. You know? If you look, what is a test or an examination? A test or an examination is an assessment. It's more of an assessment intended to measure a individual's knowledge. Like Manana, you mentioned this morning, discussions evolving around the forthcoming school madrasa reports. You know? Now, obviously, exams are arguably one of the most feared things in education for students. You know, it can often bring out the best in a student, and in some situations, the worst in a student. And obviously, Manana, Saeb, you've got the experience of teaching and so on, and I'm sure that's what you pick up from your students.
Yes, a very important thing that you mentioned, being in an exam mood, that we are examined continuously, and a few examples, Yusufa, you gave, very interesting. We can, even those people that have finished school many years ago, they can still relate to this kinds of tests and exams that we get. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran makes mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world not for anything, not for in vain, but some reason, some maqsad. So to come into the face of this earth and the purpose of our creation is also an examination from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to know how we will do, how we will fare in the examination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. And this examination is about 60 to 70 years. It depends how long we live in this world. And like you gave beautiful examples, the best one I liked was the daughter-in-law coming to the kitchen for the first time. That's an examination like that. People on a daily basis go through different kinds of examination. Yeah. But just on that final countdown you mentioned, I would just like to make reference to that we have this feeling of anxiety in our hearts, that we have this feeling that what if I don't pass, what if I don't get distinctions, and what if I don't make it. This kind of feelings normally the students might be having now after they have written all their papers, after they have written all the exams, they have this. But I want to bring an Islamic perspective regarding that, that sometimes uncertainty is that too much to bear, and the hardship of a moment prevents us from seeing any light at the end of the tunnel. And we are desperate, we want some kind of medicine or a pearl, or perhaps even a miraculously taken pearls that will cure all our worries. Sometimes that's what we desire for. But we do have a solution in Islam, the solution for everything else. And the solution is called tawakkul, to place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُهُ, that whoever relies upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be sufficient for him. So this is very important. Whilst we are waiting for our results to come out 7th December, those that are still not in matric, till grade 11, 7th of December, the results will be coming out, and the matriculants, their results will be coming out in January, early January. So whilst we are waiting for that, let's keep solace, and let's take some solace from this, that we need to place our reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another important thing is with regards to taqdeer, predestination, that after making effort, whatever we have studied and whatever we have did, because tawakkul refers to putting your trust in Allah, to believe that he alone can remove the harms that this world, whatever has put in this world. It doesn't mean that he's not studying and not making effort, and you place your trust and your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after making efforts, after doing whatever you are required to do, and then to place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During this period of waiting for your results and your marks, this is a time where you need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the Islamic perspective I want to bring, Maulana Jaya.
Yes, very important that. And you know, the students and those in high school, even those in matric, they've been studying hard for the past month, or even for the past 3 or 4 months. And you've done the hard work, you studied hard, you wrote the papers. Now it's about placing that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even we hope that everyone gets good results, and we hope that everyone gets the distinctions that they want. But it shouldn't become depressing thing that I didn't get that 90 or I didn't get that 95. The hard work that you put in, the studying that you've done, that will remain with you forever. Mm. There's no mark that's going to take that away from you.
Yes.
You've heard, you've learned it, you've taken it to heart, you've taken it to your mind, and that will remain with you forever. No, it doesn't matter what your mark is. Yes, we all always try to get good marks, but it shouldn't be the focus point that, no, I have to get that good mark, or I have to get that, but rather we should take it as it comes, and as you say, that we've placed our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've done our part. We have to make the effort. We have to try hard, study hard, and write those papers with confidence. And thereafter, now in this waiting period, now waiting for the results to come out, it's all about placing your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hopefully that marks are good. You know, you can't now sit and worry every day about those marks. You know, they say worrying about tomorrow's problems or tomorrow's issues just takes away today's happiness.
Mm.
So it's about just taking it as it comes, and hopefully if you put that effort in, if you've wrote those papers well, then the good marks should follow soon.
Mm-hmm. See, you said it nicely, that today's problems be today, and inshallah tomorrow we awake and the sun rises, so we have a different outlook and things like that. Something that's important is, and look at a student now, Munan Sahib, they're full of pressure at this time. Mm-hmm. The anxiety, the pressure, and on human basis, the more pressure you have, you're actually weaker in your performance because of the stress level that comes with it.
Mm.
And you'll find, where does the stress level come from? And this is a factor, I suppose we can actually go further after the news at 11 o'clock, of the effect is that how it has affected our children, why you find that they may not do well. And these are pointers that we're going to look at. And so on, because in any examination, you look into a situation, there's two ways, Ulandaya, whether the student achieved what we call a pass mark, or otherwise, he may have just weakened, hasn't failed. The word fail hasn't got a lot of goodness in that word, the way we take it. It is that he may just have been weaker in that time, and that's how we're going to start accepting that. No child is a failure. Every child has got goodness in them. Every child has got potential in them. And that's what we're going to look at. When you look into a situation where the student has achieved a pass mark, now let's look at that, which is much more easy and a shorter way to come across to this topic. How do we as parents take that on? And this is an important facet. Yes, you have the right to enjoy the achievement of your child. Mashallah, the child has done well. We become overjoyed. But you know what happens in today's times? We become so overjoyed that we go wild. And wild on social media.
That's
right. You find that the family group messages now go into full swing.
Mm.
WhatsApp with its smiling logo. You know, with a smiling face. But do we ever realize the effect it has on the next child or parents, Molana, especially group messages?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, the child has done well, he's worked hard. You as parents obviously has played their role for the child to achieve those results. But are we not playing with the emotions of the other set of parents or child?
Mm.
And this is a factor we really got to look at. We've got to look at. Because we're playing actually with the emotions over the next child or the next parents, because they may have not achieved this equal level of what your child may have achieved. And that is not correct. We're actually inculcating pride into our child.
Yes.
And pride is an illness of its own, Malana.
Yes, that is right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's so many ways, after news we can with this segment, yeah?
Mm.
But we got to watch this factor, Munana Sahib.
Very important thing that the different various kinds of pressure a child or a learner goes through, one of which you mentioned with regards to pressure from parents. This is very important thing. Inshallah, after the news bulletin, we can discuss. So every learner has various pressure and challenges that he goes through. All parents want their kids to do well. Putting too much pressure on children to achieve at school can push their grades down also. That's also disadvantage. And like you mentioned, that having stress levels get out of hand, which can stop us from advancing and performing our best. So it's important to address it and get back to it and get it under control, especially the parents' pressure rising the kids. We can talk this more after the news bulletin.
Yes, inshallah. The time now, 1 minute before 11. So we're going to take a short break, and thereafter it will be the 11 o'clock news. And we hope to continue after this. A very interesting topic and very pertinent point that you brought up there about, you know, on social media, that you put that the pressure on the other parents, or that other child who might have tried so hard and only achieved maybe got a 70 or 80, and you see someone else get it. It puts dampens their spirit as well. So that also should be done in a correct way. If you want to share it with your very close families or whatever it may be, but not to continuously, you know, boast about it. As again, you say, it instills in that child also a sense of pride. So inshallah, it's a topic that we look to discuss after the news bulletin, inshallah. Yes, so welcome back to the program on Radio Islam International. The time has gone 12 minutes past the hour of 11. And this morning on our roundtable discussion, we are speaking about the post-exams period when the children now and the parents themselves go through a lot of stress, anxiety, waiting for those results. Has my child passed? What are the results going to look like? And before the break, we touched, or before the news break, we touched on when the child receives good results, and when the child does well in the exams, then what should be the attitude, what should be the way forward for the parents, for the child, etc. And coming into this next segment of the program, we do have Abdullah Hafiji as well on the program, so we'd like to welcome him as well. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, wa to yourself and all the listeners of Radio Islam.
Yes, jazakumullah khairan for joining us this morning on this discussion. So, Uncle Yusuf, before the break, we were speaking and we spoke about, just touched on that when the student receives good results, or when he gets those distinctions, then the attitude or of the parents, of the child himself, and the way forward, when and the advice that should be given to that child as well, if he does achieve good results.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Imran, we're talking about the situation where the child has done well, and the negativity of social media, because that's when we go wild on social media, in family messages, group messages goes full swing, WhatsApp's going wild, smiling faces like I mentioned, and so on. Obviously, and like you mentioned, Imran, we actually inculcating into the child the level of pride, and that is a disease on its own. It's a disease on its own. The question that comes into that particular parent, Molana, what happens? What would that parent do in the following year if his or her child did not achieve the equal level of marks? This year, a child has been number one, number two, number three in class, go wild from right up to the neighbors, 40 neighbors to the right, 40 neighbors to the left, even know about it and things like that. And come next year, when your child takes a dip, what are you going to do then? Are you still going to go wild on your cell phones? Or are you going to say that the cell phone is faulty? Or is it a flat battery? And that's when we find our cowardice comes in, and that is very, very unhealthy. We become cowards. We need to respect the emotions of our fellow beings. I mean, your action may create discomfort from the other child, and then you want to know why disrespect sets in one. So just the matter of pride. And look how far and how deep it can take us, as much as we are enjoying the beauty of our child's success.
Yes.
So we got to watch how far we go with that, Monana.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. Uncle Yusuf, I think you raise a very, very important point there, especially with regards to, you know, the point of pride. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been discussing the tarbiyah of children, the importance of guiding the children correctly and giving them correct upbringing. And really, this is something that we need to look at. When our children are successful in life, what is the first point of shukr that we're going to instill in that child? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many a times we'll hear this in the bayanats, the bayans that are giving in the masajid, la in shakartum la azidannakum, that if you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in that favor of His. So we need to, you know, first of all, when the child is studying from the beginning of the year or from the beginning of his school, his or her schooling career, to teach the child to constantly turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Effort you have to make, but always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've even given that advice to learners at school and madrasa at the time of exams, that before you start writing your paper, read your Durood Sharif, so many different du'as and wazifas to read before you start writing. Now comes the time of the report, and we see the success Now really, let us ask ourselves, where did that success come from? Was it just the brain of my child, or was it the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And unfortunately, at that point in time, we as parents, we lose focus, and we do not use that opportunity as well to instill the correct tarbiyah to our children, that look, you, alhamdulillah, you've done very well, mashallah. There's a musalla, read 2 rakats of salatu shukr, because when you were studying, when you were starting to write your paper, you turned to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had helped you and brought you to this particular point. So first, salatu shukr. Then also another good point, good gesture is, give out some sadaqah. You know, I mean, really, what are we going to lose out of anything? We're not going to lose anything. Give something, some sadaqah out as a token of appreciation. Allah, I appreciate what you have done for me and brought me to this particular point and level in life. You know, because from here, remember, it's still your child is at primary level, then your child goes to high school, then from there still to university. But remember, these are still the starting stages of life, because even when a child goes through work later on in life, remember, this is all preparation for the biggest exam, which is Akhirah. And that would be a point of success or failure. So if we're not going to take these steps carefully now, then unfortunately our successful steps today will become a step of failure tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah save us all.
I mean, Jazakallah, Malana, on that important advice with regards to the students. But before that, Yusuf Bhai was mentioning with regards to showing off your marks. And just before the news break, that's what we were discussing also, Maulana Daya, regarding showing off and putting it on social media and putting smiles and WhatsApp messages. That also creates hasad and enmity amongst people, those people that will look at your marks and they will become jealous of that. And as a result, that ni'mat and bounty could be snatched away. We learned this from the incident of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. We learned that Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was sending his sons, and then one advice he gave them, that, oh my sons, don't enter from one door and enter from different doors. Why? Ulama mentions, and the Mufassir mentions, that people will see that, look at 10 handsome brothers or 11 handsome brothers, and people will make nazar and they will become hasad of that, and that ni'mat could be snatched away from them. So that's why what Yusuf Bhai and Maulana Daya was speaking about with regards to showing off, that one thing is it brings pride, another thing is hasad, jealousy and enmity amongst one another, and out of that people can become victims of people making hasad and jealousy on them.
Yes, and just on that point, you know, that before the exams, we tell our children to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm also, if you're also teaching, and I'm sure you're in the classroom, you see the children before the exams reading the different du'as and, you know, seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it is sad and unfortunate that when it comes after the exams, then where is the shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then it's, hey, you know, lucky I learned that part. That's the only part I checked, and that came out in the paper. You know, we hear this, and we sometimes also, I remember in Marissa, we also were like that. But it is the point that time to teach a child, now you've accomplished something, now you need to turn and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, to attribute all your success to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like what you mentioned, it also reminds me of my study days when we were in Madrasa, and all the students before the paper starts at 7 o'clock. So you see about 10 to 7, 5 to 7, everyone's making wudu. They come to the courtyard and start making 2 rakat salatul hajat, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and assistance, because this is what we learned, that we're making effort, but it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the success. But what you mentioned, Mawlana Daya and Mawlana Abdullah, also that after that, to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we taking so much precaution also after the paper, going back to the wuzu khana, going back to the masjid or to the courtyard and making salat to shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do we attribute that paper because the paper was easy to ourselves? No, because I studied, or like Mawlana Daya says, no, last night lucky I went over this and it came out in our paper.
One point that Mawlana Abdullah came up with, and a beautiful one, Mawlana, is the one of sadaqah. And the question I ask every parent out there, take the value of sadqa or the gift of the cell phone you're going to give to your child. Take that and compare that, because trust me, the gift of the cell phone is then allowing your child to mess around with internet. And when that happens, trust me, the effect of it is worse. So the word of sadqa has got so much of value compared to that gift of a cell phone. Well, furthermore, you'll find, and we're talking of success to a child, inshallah, like Mulana mentioned earlier, inshallah, every child does get success in his exams and in madrasa, in tihans. If the worst does happen, it's not the worst, obviously. A failing an exam obviously is one of the most devastating experiences for a student. Now, there is some advice that the students need to listen to, Yamulana, and there's one way to cope with exam failure, and that is to talk to people. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. These are important points I'm putting across. Discuss the options that you can take now that you have had your exam results. Now, one thing the student must remember is that failing your exams is not the end of the world, Molana. And that I'm going to repeat, it is not the end of the world. Exam failure is one of the many hurdles you will have to surpass in your life. And there are always possibilities to learn and rise above failure. Failure should make that student, that little brother and sister of ours, should make you stronger and more determined. It gives you an understanding of what it means to fail. You should never allow exam failure into believing that you now cannot achieve any of your dreams or targets. Sure, some things will be harder to reach, but that does not make them unreachable. Failing an exam does not make you any less of a person, nor any less intelligent, or any less able to achieve what you want to, than those who may have got better results in your exams or imtihan than you, Molana. So it's so important for that child. Results are bad. Learn to talk. Talk to the person next to you. Talk to your parents. Talk to your friends. Talk to your uncles, your aunties, your family. It's very, very important. Because the most important thing to remember in such a situation is to remain true to yourself. Remember who you are, what you are capable of doing, and what you intend to do. And you will definitely get there. So never ever go into a negative mode. It is not even worth it. Always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best guider. To lift your hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength, for direction is where your solution lies. You do not need marks or to pass an exam to lift your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never turns away sincere dua from any of his beloved servants. Your success would be definitely attained when you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your side. So it's so important for that student, that, like I mentioned, that those are our little brothers and sisters there, Mulana. They need to talk. Open yourself up. Don't go into a shell. It's very, very important.
Hey, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think, Uncle Yusuf, that's also a very important thing for us to remember. You know, again, we reflect on the guidance that we receive from our kabirin, from our mashayikh, on a very, very regular basis. You know, it's about reflection. You need to reflect, and that's not supposed to be done once in a lifetime. You know, they always guide us to the point that when you retire to bed in the evening, then just reflect on what has transpired through the day. What were your actions for the day? What were your amal for the day? How many good things you done for that day? How many times you involved yourself in any kind of guna? So this kind of tarbiyah is a tarbiyah and discipline that comes in from our mashayikh that teach us and guide us how to forge forward in life and become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the very same way, you know, a learner that has failed is not supposed to go into a depression. Basically, it's a point of reflection now. You need to reflect, what is it that I didn't do correctly, you know, in either the studying period, or what, is there something that I did not do correctly throughout the year? Was I not attending my lessons on time? Was I not doing my homework? Was I not listening attentively? What was it that brought me to this point of failure? And that is the point, unfortunately, a learner or a student will not do on their own. This is where the guidance and the help and assistance of the parents need to step in at that point. First of all, you need to console your child, you know, and contain the child's emotion. Because remember, a child will react to failure based on one point, and that is more on how am I going to face my parents. Because what is my father going to tell me? What is my mother going to tell me? You know, they didn't worry about what their parents are going to tell them the whole year. But it's at that point when they got a circle in the report and the percentage is below the pass percentage, that's the point when the child starts worrying. And this is the point where parents need to step in and say, whoa, hang on, we understand. Let's sit and let's find where the problems are. Note it down so that you don't make the same mistakes in the coming year. And in that way, just on reflection, it is something that can take you forward. And if you follow that particular system, then you'll understand that success is the stepping failure is the stepping stone to success.
Yes. And they say, you know, we live in a world of in a time of quotes. Everybody likes to quote.
Yeah,
it's just here all the time, whether it's on Instagram, Twitter. Everybody likes to put a quote up. So I seen one. It says, it says failure is not the opposite of success. Failure is not the opposite of success. Failure is part of success. Mm-hmm. So that you might have failed. You're going to try again next year. You're going to try again at the next opportunity. And now you have that experience behind you that this is what I done wrong. This is where I took the wrong step. So it shouldn't be the end of the world. And it shouldn't put a person into depression. It shouldn't be now that, hey, I failed. How am I going to face the people? How am I going to face going back to that school? That also becomes a challenging part, that all my friends have gone ahead of me and I'm now stuck in the lower class. All of this comes into play. But it shouldn't be I won't use any names, but I've read many times of successful people who are millionaires and billionaires, that they might have failed grade 4, the grade 5, they failed it 2 or 3 times, and in the end they kept on trying, they didn't let that break them, because the ultimate failure is when you give up. So if you carry on trying, you don't know, it's not the end of the world if a person has to fail. And also the parents, the advice that they give to a child at that time, if the child tried hard, he worked hard, he was punctual, and then he doesn't get the results that he wanted, it shouldn't be that the parents now come down on him like a ton of bricks, but rather it's a time to encourage them at that time.
Yes, while this discussion is getting serious, I just want to lighten up Mulana Daya and Yusuf Bhai, Mulana Abdullah also, with regards to marks, that the father asked the child, why are your exam marks so low? So the son replies, because I sit at the desk at the back. So that was the response from the son, because I sat right at the back. So the father asks, what difference does that make if you're sitting right at the back? What difference will it make? So the son says, well, there are so many of us in the class that when it's my turn for marks, there aren't any left. So well, the discussion is getting too serious and people are becoming too intense here. I thought just on a lighter note with regards to marks, while people are waiting for the marks to come. But very important topic that you are talking about, stress and how we become pressurized, and how depression sets in. So believing a person should be believing in themselves. If you prepare for the exams, if you prepared for your exams properly, then you shouldn't worry too much about it. And if you place your tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned early on, and it's great to succeed and reach for the stars, but Maulana Daya also mentioned that sometimes the most successful people, if you read regarding the biography of Einstein also, you learn that at high school he wasn't a bright student, and he left school also, then his parents had to force him to complete the school, and then later on he became who Einstein is. So if you study people's lives, then you will learn that most of the successful people, they weren't intelligent early in life. They failed, they tried again, they failed and they tried again. So it's a very important thing that you'll have experience at the back. Like just before the program started, Monadaya, we were speaking and we were having a chat with regards to personal things, and then how we discussed that you learned an expensive lesson. By paying extra, you learned an expensive lesson. So in future, you'll avoid that. So similarly, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that a person will not get bitten from one hole twice. That means whatever experience he had with that, in future he'll avoid it, and he won't be trapped in that same problem again. So it's a stepping stone. It's also a learning curve for one and all. So if you do not do well, it's not the end of the world. The world still continues after your exams. The world will continue normal. It's just that 1 year of your life was wasted.
Jimananda, also, you know, when you take the word fail, and if you really break it down, and to those students out there, fail, F-A-I-L, means forging ahead in learning.
Yes.
That's what it's about, forging ahead in learning. That's correct. We're also discussing the students and things like that, and looked at the passes and so on. Parents also undergo stress, Maulana.
Yes.
They also get under stress, anxiety, disorders and things like that. And, you know, when there is a failure that has come to the home, when I'm referring to failure, means a document that says need to repeat a certain grade or a certain class. What role, and Mulana Abdullah just touched on it, the role of the parents in Mulana. Because now's the time when that child now requires the true role of us as parents. The true caretakers. The caretakers of that amanat. The comfort zone that we should be putting our children into. The advice that we are supposed to be offering to our children. This is the role that now comes in. And there are methods and systems to this. Never ever first, I think we as hubbies normally do it, we first attack our wives and then the child. This is something that we got to really look at in a different angle. As a couple, between husband and wife, we, and I think Abdullah for the last few Wednesday nights, we've been stressing on the strength and the foundation between husband and wife and the togetherness between husband and wife, and this is where it begins to show. As husband and wife, sit with your child and assess the situation. When Abdullah also mentioned the importance, and in anything in life, begin with Durood Sharif, because Durood Sharif actually brings about a discussion of calmness and direction as well. That's the power of Durood Sharif in a discussion. Now, as a parent, you should be aware of the positiveness of your child and not negativeness. Now, we tend to make one error, is when we ask our children questions, we ask them always by saying, why did you do this? Or why did you do that? And why did you do that? My advice to parents, follow this format. Don't ask your child why. By asking him why, you allow him to give you answers, maybe in three different modes. But by asking him in what went wrong, you get a firmer answer, you get a straightforward answer, and you will get a better answer. So always try not to ask why, but use the word what. Why questions invites your child to make excuses, to blame someone, or something for his problems.
Yes.
But whereas when you ask your child questions that begins with what, you'll get more straighter answers, more perfect answers. Ask him, like, what are you doing or what are you going to do to improve your grades? You know, listen to see if there's any ideas. In this manner, a solution should definitely be found. Make your discussion with your child functional, not emotional, which means get direction out of it. Not, you know, I've spent so much of money for the whole year. You're more troubled with the amount that you've spent on the school fees.
Yes.
Well, madrasa fees you don't really pay. But when it comes to the school fees, we're not troubled of what we spent. Again, the value, the monetary value, is it more important than your child? It's not more. Too many parents get bogged down in emotionality. Now, kids do better when they keep their feelings out of it. After all, their emotions are very volatile, Molana. Very, very volatile. Kids, sometimes they love you, sometimes they dislike you. Thus, your experience as a parent, as an adult, should be one of tact and understanding. Communication is the manner of how we should be living, Molana. So it is not a train smash. Sit down, husband and wife, sit down with your child and see how we can actually improve on it. And that does not go with negativity.
See, you know, Uncle Yusuf, the last point that you mentioned with regards to communication, there's a very, very important point and aspect, you know, which actually is the duty and responsibility of parents during the school year. And during the madrasa year, not the end of the year. That's supposed to have been from day one. Because remember, the communication is actually a triangle. We've mentioned this previously. You have the learner, the student, you have the ustad, the teacher, and you have the parent. Now, if there isn't communication between the educator and the parent throughout the year, then we are going to fail that child. When there is good, strong communication between the educators, the asatiza, and the parents, and there's understanding, and a parent doesn't quickly jump to defend his or her child, then you will find that child will turn out very, very successful later on, because the child understands there is pressure from both parties coming forward. From the educator, the child is in check, and from the parents as well, the child is in check. So communication is very, very vital and important from the start of the year. And now when it comes to this particular point of the year, like you mentioned, if there is any failure as such, it's not the end of the world. We need to sit and discuss. We need to communicate. But in this instance, again, partners need to communicate amongst themselves. Look at what did we do and contribute towards the failure of our children. Did I give my child too much of freedom? Did I give my child the wrong devices so that it became a distraction? Because really, when we are buying the device or we are giving that piece of technology to our child, we don't look at all the negatives of it. We don't look at the distraction of it. We are just looking at the desire of my child, what my child wants. And we have, and as parents, many a time we go to that point that, you know, I want to keep my child happy. I want to make my child feel happy. That, you know, today daddy bought me this, or today mommy bought me this. It's all well and good to say that that's what you want to do, and you'll go that route. But little do you study and look at the fact that what negativity is this item going to bring in my child's life. Mm-hmm. Forget the devices. You even got this Xbox and things, and really it's amazing when you see them. The other day we were having a discussion, and some stats revealed that people that use Xbox the most are between the ages of 25 and 40. Really, I mean, it's a question now, where is this all going? But this is a reality. We buy all these things. I'm not saying don't have it. If you have it and you feel it's correct and you feel there's a need for it or whatever the case may be, you need to look at what negatives this is going to bring into my life, what is it going to bring into my child's life. Then you take the decision from there. But just, you know, giving the child what the child wants because you feel you want to score a point by saying, you know, daddy bought me something and I'm very happy with daddy now, it's only going to lead to the child's failure. So look at what have I as a parent done to contribute to the negative results of my child, and work on that first. Because 9 out of 10 times, if a parent has to sit and really analyze what the negatives are from, or the faults from their side are, then you will find that it is pointless them questioning the child with regards to the results. Why did you fail? What are you doing at school? You'll find that the parent is asking the question, now suddenly you've become very interested in your child. But the whole year, you never came for a parent's evening, you never came for a report collection, you never made an appointment one day with the ustad or a school teacher to say, you know what, how is my child performing? But let your child come home and say, you know, my teacher shouted me today. Next morning the parents are there to tackle the ustad or tackle the teacher. And this has become a reality. So let us look as parents, what have I done to contribute to the failure of my child?
Yusuf Bhai, Hamalan Abdullah mentioned very interesting stats with regards to Xbox. He mentioned from the age of 25 to 40, so I won't ask you whether you have, because you don't qualify. You're over 60 already.
Manana, where's those vouchers I gave you, Manana?
See, talking about parents pressurizing them, parents' involvement, the impact the parents make, sometimes a negative impact, positive impact. But all parents want their kids to do well, but unrealistic expectations not only have potentially damaging long-term psychological effects, they can hurt kids academically in year and also later on in the future. Also, getting kids to do well is even more of a tightrope than we thought. Some pressure does help children achieve more, but expecting the unachievable only makes them do worse. And since Maulana Abdullah mentioned about stats, I also read an article. I came across research that researchers at the UK's University of Reading looked at the numbers from a study of more than 3,500 students in Germany from the year 2002 to 2007. And the study, according to an article in Science Daily, assess the students' math achievement as well as parental aspiration, how much they want the child to earn a particular grade, and expectations that how much they believe the child can achieve a certain grade on an annual basis. And they found that when parents push the kids to achieve, they did rise to meet the expectations. But when parents tried to nudge kids past their realistic potential, the effort backfired and the students actually did worse. To double down on those findings, researchers reviewed the results of a study involving 12,000 kids and parents in the US. The two-year investigation came up with the same findings as the German survey and offers a cautionary tale for parents. So much of the previous literature conveyed a simple, straightforward message to parents that aim high for your children and they will achieve more. And unrealistic goals, high aspirations may hinder academic performance. So simply raising aspirations cannot be an effective solution to improve success in education. So what we learn, Yusuf and Molana, is that to draw a balance, to take a middle path, and not to push them so that they can, it's too much pressure, and because of that the grades go down, and not to just neglect them and leave them also, but there need to be a balance in between those two.
Yes, it would be important to encourage the children and not really put pressure on them. I think there's a difference when you speak about that. One is to encourage your child to do well, to study hard, but to pressurize them that they have to get this much or you have to get, I think nowadays, Marshall, maybe I'm not, I know in our days it used to get out of 100, but now I see the school reports, you get 1 out of 7 and 7 and 6. I don't know how it works, but they want all those 7s or all those 6s. So it's about finding that middle ground and that balance of encouraging them to do good as well. Shouldn't just leave them freely, let them do what they want, but encourage them when it's study time also they should study, but at the same time don't give them unrealistic expectations, don't put too much in front of them. And as we continue with the discussion, there is some messages as well that has come through. I'll just share with you one of them that has come through, that the exam spirit is a very one of the listeners responding, saying that the exam spirit is a very difficult time and a lot of tension and a lot of stress for the parents and also for the children, and it's now coming to the end, so we should continue making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah help them and may they pass, and also a special dua for the matriculants, may they also achieve the good results. And also going on and just commenting on the discussion, that it's very important that we have a discussion like this. There's always those children that will be doing well, how to treat them, those children that sometimes we won't say failed, as you say, we have to try again, have another chance to try, but the advice that should be given to them as well.
Just to come back to Mulana Suhaib, you know, when you use the word Einstein, I don't know who's that. That's of those years. You ask me of Juju, I know it. So just to show the age difference between the two. It's also important, you know, and we're referring to our parents. And trust me, the emotion level of our child, of our children, is very high. You know, parents should actually try to identify the good qualities of the children and work on it. Because, you know, you should take note that they are young and delicate in a sense where the emotions are still growing. We've got to therefore approach them with patience. And trust me, every child has good qualities in them. Every child has good qualities in them. Now, when lack of motivation brings about a mode of sadness in a child, which leads to depression. And to replace that depression, Mona, that child finds comfort in the negativities which are so easily accessible to them, while others find a solution in committing suicide. Our children have feelings. They're human after all. The emotion level of a child is so great that one negative word can turn that emotion into sorrow. They cannot vent their feelings. When a person cannot vent their feelings, one another, the chances of disaster becomes greater. Now the question that needs to be asked to every parent out there, that red mark that comes on that report, will that equal the value of the pieces of calico with the smell of camphor and you're taking your child to the Kabristan? Now, what is it? Is the red circle more important? Or do you enjoy the smell of camphor? We've got to look at ourselves, because that child, we don't need our children to commit suicide. We don't need our children to slit their wrists. The other day I was sitting with my daughter, Murana, and I asked her a question. I asked, why do children commit suicide? And she answered it in 5 words. She says, their willpower is too strong. I used the word emotions earlier. Now, can you imagine what drives a child to lift their willpower to that level, that putting a rope around their neck has become a simple thing to do? We as parents should realize that don't ever, ever hurt the emotions of the child. That child, let us not forget, that is an amanat. It's an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We are so fortunate that we need to pass with that gift so our doors of Jannah become wider for us. So look after those children and be warm and be delicate with them. Please do not mess around with the emotions. And in the vent of anger, we husbands, I mentioned earlier, even attack our wives. And then what do we find? A disturbed marriage. Mm. So if these are factors, please parents, let's take it easy on our children.
Subhanallah. Amazing. What a positive attitude can actually result in. When the willpower is too high, that is actually a very positive quality, that the child has such a strong willpower. But it's unfortunate if we do not guide the child into utilizing that positive quality in the correct way, it becomes a negative situation and a disaster for life. And we just need to keep in mind that parents, educators, and learners or students are a team, and together everybody achieves more.
We speak about this, and we are now discussing also when the child doesn't do too well, or when the child maybe has that red ring around the mark. And one thing also, we speak about the influence of the parents and how the parents take this forward. And we find that one thing has become very common in today's time as well, is that we tend to compare our children.
Yes.
We tend to compare them, and the child might come home with results, and he worked hard to achieve those results, and every child is different, and the parents will then say, but your cousin, he's got 6 A's, or you only got 2, or your friend who stays next door, he's done so well, what has happened to you, why did you not achieve the same results? And this can now play on the emotions of the child. It can also play on the thinking of the child, where now he might suffer from an inferior complex for the rest and later in his life as well. So to be very careful as to what we say to our children when they come home with those report cards, and when they come home with those reports, the manner that we discuss with them and the attitude that we show to them can have a great impact on their life, not only today in their learning or in their schooling, but further as they grow older, that could still remain with them.
Well, Asaf, you make a very good point. You know, it's amazing that parents or spouses, partners, don't like to be compared with anybody else, but they're quick to compare their children to everybody else.
Well, a very important point, this comparison of children. Just that point, we tend to do it. You know, you'll find 2 cousins in one class. It's a common thing. And every time, instead of finding the efforts and what your child has achieved, you always ask, what did the other child do? Mm-hmm. That's a weakness of us. When there's a fault, why do we tend to look at everybody else and not ourselves? Well, Abdullah said it proper earlier. We've got the whole year to sit with your child. If we are to nurture the child and assist the child, especially with school aids, madrasa aids, listening to the surahs, listening to the Quran, the tajweed and things like that, we would not have been sitting in this problem. The problem, in the end of the day, the failure of the child, we did not play that third, the triangle. The one third we did not even play. We always say to ourselves that it is the educators that has to do it because we have paid our school fees. And I mentioned about the Kabristan. On a monetary side, parents, find out what costs more, the school fees or the funeral fees. And I say it's important. We need to be tender, loving to our children.
You know, this blame game that we play many a times, and it's not only in this situation. In every other scenario, we like playing the blame game. And Mulana Ibrahim Pandor Sahab, Damat Barakatuhu, whom once I was sitting with him, and he was actually having a discussion with one of the HIF students. And this particular student, his door wasn't too strong. And every time Mulana asked a question, he gave an answer, but the answer was always around, you know, I didn't have time for this, and you know, when I wanted to do this, then this Ustad said that, and Mufti Sahab said that, and he just carried on and on and on. And Maulana patiently went through the motions with him, and towards the end, Maulana wrapped up the Tarbiyah session in just one sentence, and he says, stop blaming everybody else. Look at yourself, stop blaming everybody else.
Also on that point, many parents, Maulana, leave the job of training to skilled teachers and society, not realizing that the education system today, in most places, is chillingly void of moral values. Society around the child is often immoral. Providing the right type of training is the primary duty of the parents. Every child needs to be taught the right things, for he is not born with that awareness. So it is definitely the primary duty of training is the parents.
Gee, so basically we should not be demoralizing our kids, our children, and we should not be comparing with another kids, because every child is different, every child's intelligence is different, every child, the way he or she learns is different. Also, as a person is doing research, then you will find that a person can learn visually more faster than hearing aid, and a person by just doing practically, he will learn more faster. So every person's intelligence, every person's learning skills are different to another. another person. We shouldn't, if a person, like the proverb says, that every cloud has a silver line. If a person is good in doing something, then he might be not... He might not be so good in other things, or maybe if he's not good in schoolwork, he might be good in other things. Maybe if he's not doing well in schoolwork, maybe he's good with his hands or those activities that you carry out with your hands. So we should not be comparing with one another. We should not be comparing with the cousins or the neighbors or people in the classrooms. But every person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them uniquely, and judge them according to that and be more encouraging rather than discouraging and demotivating them.
Yes. Before we are coming towards the end of the program, before I get the closing comments from the Shuri Masif, I'd just like to ask, you know, with this whole discussion, we've been speaking about the stress and the pressure of the children and the parents. You as a teacher now, what has it been like now, you know, from that angle, from the teacher's perspective, going through the exams, going through the marking of papers, the stress and pressure that comes with it must be a different stress and pressure.
Well, I say we stick over the holidays, man.
Someone told me that the children think holidays are for them, but it's not for them, it's actually for the teachers.
Yes, definitely it's a daunting task, and I'm going to give Mawlana Abdullah also an opportunity after I speak. He's also a teacher, and he's also finishing in Roshni with the academic year in December. So basically it's the worst part is the marking, Mawlana Dayan. Going through and reading each script and marking the papers, that's the worst part. But as a teacher, you also want your students to excel, and you also want your students to do well. So that's as a teacher, you feel that you want the class average to be higher than other class. That's your aims, and you try your best during the course of the year that you will try better in other sections or better in other schools or better in other madrasa classes, that your marks should be better. So that's the first thing that you strive towards. And then you also encourage the students, especially in an Islamic environment, where you say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be accepting it. Firstly, we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever is in our hands, whatever is in our means, we try our best. After trying it, we leave the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to answer your question, the most important thing is that as a teacher, you just as you want as an individual to succeed, you want your students to succeed also. You don't want your students to fail. Just like a father, the father will always want the son to even overtake him. So this is the dream and aspiration of a teacher also.
I agree with you on the point of marking is the most daunting task. But you know, in every negative situation, we must always take out the positive.
Yes.
You know, when we talk of these learners that, like we said, they're not failures, but they are the ones that are going to give it another shot for the next year. You know, it is their papers that actually bring a smile across your face when you are marking. You know, it breaks the tension and the stress. When we were studying in our first year of Alim class, we were doing Urdu as a subject, and it was an oral imtihan. And we had a number of students that were from Cape Town. Now, naturally, coming from that background, Urdu is not a language that is spoken or even heard of very often in that part of the world. But we had a youngster there, and while Maulana was testing us, he came across this youngster and he said, "Okay, now I have to find a very easy word for you." You know, so Maulana said, "Okay, I'm going to give you one very easy word." He was giving the Urdu words, and we had to give English translation. So Maulana said, "Let me ask you, what's the meaning of ma-bap?" So now this youngster is sitting and he's thinking, and Maulana is saying, "Now, okay, let me break it down for you. What's the meaning of ma?" So he said, "Ma is mother." And he said, "What's the meaning of bap?" He says, "Father." So Maulana says, "So put the two together, what do you say? Children."
Talking about marking, you know, in the classroom, the staff room, teachers get together, and that's they mark. And at a time, they discuss different things, what they mention. So recently, about 2 or 3 days back, there was a question with regards to bookkeeper, that what's a bookkeeper? So what was the answer that the teacher was sharing with us, that what the learner wrote as an answer? Bookkeeper, the child said, the person who looks after the books is the bookkeeper.
Yes, it's now 5 minutes to the hour of 12. Just before we wrap up, Uncle Yusuf, maybe you can give us some of the closing comments from your side.
To every home out there, why do we have to live in fear? Fear for that report that's coming through? I don't think so. When I say live in fear, you find the wife is troubled in case the reports come bad and there's a red mark on the report. What happens to her? A husband come in full anger. What happens to the child and things like that? I think many Wednesday nights, in the past few Wednesday nights, we tried to create an atmosphere of warmth in the home. of love in a home, of support for each other in a home, sharing the duties in a home. And I think those are things that we should reflect on, look at ourselves, create a warm, happy atmosphere in a home. Don't allow a red circle to create disaster in our home. Put our trust, support, and our life in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For all our solutions lies in the sincerity of our du'as. To each one, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant unto every home love, understanding, respect, and total remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our beloved Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to every child and to every student out there, inshallah, the results do come very positive to you. And like we mentioned earlier, a failure is not a negative. Jazakallah, Mulana.
Yes, and with that, we do come to the end of this round table discussion this morning. And I think you ended it off very brilliantly that we hope and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all the children are successful and they come home with good marks. But understand that if there is a failure, then this is not the opposite of success, but rather this is just another chance to go at it with more intelligence, with more experience. So there's no such thing as a failure, but rather encourage our children when they do good, when they do bad as well. And teach them that that quality of shukr as well that we spoke about earlier, just to wrap it up a bit, that if they do good and they come home with good results, then show them at that time also turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take out that sadaqah, read the two rakat salah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving them the ability to achieve that good result. So from myself, Ibrahim Dyer, and our guest this Sunday morning, Uncle Yusuf, Ma'am Abdullah, Ma'am Suhaib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.